stand together briefly. If you are able, we could stand together for just 1 second and read a few verses. John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. We're going to read the first 13 verses. We'll pray. We'll let you be seated. We will not be long this morning because we want to receive our building offering in a few minutes. I do want to share a couple thoughts with you. John chapter 6, verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Then Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the songs we've heard and the encouragement, the video, Lord, and we see what you want to do in people's lives. We pray, Father, as we briefly look at your word, that you would encourage us as we take our offering, receive our offering for the building in a few minutes, that you would do something tremendous that would help us and equip us to do even more for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This story in John chapter 12 is a very, I'm sorry, John chapter 6 is a very familiar story we are well acquainted with. The miracle that Jesus performed here was of such great magnitude that it's mentioned all 4 times in the Gospels. The Gospels don't always tell you the stories, every story in every gospel, but this one is because it's a very significant miracle. Mark chapter 6, Matthew chapter 14, Luke 9 also record it. A great multitude had been following Jesus for several days, and they had been doing ministry, and so they were going to get away and have a little bit of rest. The crowd started to find out where they were going to, and so the crowd comes and follows them. Jesus, having compassion on them, not thinking, you know, I'm tired, we're trying to get away from you folks, he ministers unto them. He has compassion on them, heals them, preaches to them, teaches them. The day is starting to get, is starting to wear away, and Jesus understands there's a situation. The people had come unprepared. They had heard about him, and they all just kind of came out, but they didn't prepare food or anything of that nature. And so Jesus realized they need to eat, and they didn't bring food. It's a little bit late for them. So he's going to do a miracle here. And so he asked the disciples, you know, hey, do we have any, you know, can we buy some food for them? And they're a little bit, we'll see in a little bit, in a few minutes here, they're like, you know what, why don't we just send the people away? We really can't take care of this problem. And one of them, Andrew, comes and says, well, there's a kid here. He has 2 fish and 5 loaves. He says, but, you know, what's that among so many? That's not going to help. Jesus prays and blesses and organizes the crowd, sets them down, organizes the disciples to pass everything out. And we always call it the feeding of the 5,000, but I don't know if it was just a men's meeting. So if it was just the men that were counted there, I think that probably there were some ladies there and there was probably some children there. So probably, my estimation, maybe at least 15,000 were fed. That's pretty good. Okay. You know, you have trouble feeding your family on a few bucks, $1,000 a month, right? They eat, especially have boys, they eat you out of house and home. Here it is, a few loaves of bread and a couple fish, and everybody's fed. And not only that, they had leftovers. By the way, have you ever noticed some food tastes better when it's leftover? You ever get like a soup or something? Man, a day later it tastes better. I think y'all just make it, stick in the fridge for a day, and then come back. But they had all this extra food. Truly, a great miracle was done. By the way, God is in the miracle business. We may not have a potluck. We're not going to stretch it here. We're not going to have a potluck and just bring a couple loaves of bread and see how we do here. Okay, we're not going to do that. But we looked at the little video and we saw the lives that have been changed. And by the way, we could have thrown a lot more out there. As I look at this crowd, by the way, y'all look good today, but there was a time when you didn't look good. Okay? We all look, oh, yeah. There was a time when many of us, our lives were a mess. Right? And God performed a miracle in our lives. He's in the miracle working business. When we look at what our church is trying to accomplish, we need a miracle. I love the song Errol said. Saying, lives to be changed, people to be helped. Building is a big part of that. We need to get this building done. God wants to do something great. How is our church, not just in building the building, but just where we're at as a church, how have we gotten to this place? God's done miracles. God's done mighty, mighty work. And he still wants to. As we approach this offering Sunday and we assess our part in the miracle, I want us to notice a few things about this miracle that would apply to us and maybe help us, and really, we'll just be a few minutes and then we'll take our offering. I want you to notice, first of all, the miracle starts because of the confusion of the people. They were not following Christ because they necessarily wanted him, because they necessarily knew who he was. And wanted him to teach them something and help them to grow in a faith. A lot of them followed him because they had heard about the miracles he had done. They had heard about this man who was gathering a following and the things he was doing. And it's like they went because they wanted to see a miracle. They were confused about life. They were confused about how things went. They didn't really understand who Jesus was. They just heard something was going on and this guy's performing miracles and I want to be a part of that and I want to see him do a miracle. No doubt many of them came because it's almost like some type of, I hate the word, maybe it's a little bit over the top, freak show, something like that. Something weird's going on. I'm going to go check it out. Now, I'm sure there were some that were coming because they genuinely had need, but there was a lot of confusion. They weren't coming because they were already committed to him. It's like even later on, people are going to come to Jesus again because they heard about how he fed people. Always coming for the wrong reason. Because they were confused about life. They were confused about who Jesus Christ was. Isn't that how society is today? Are we not confused? Don't we live in confusing times? Not to be negative here or political. When we have a president that gets up and wants to open the restrooms in every public school to whoever wants to go in. I just thought of a verse, and I'm not trying to be negative here, but it's who I am. That Jesus said, who offends one of these little ones, it's better that a millstone were hanged around his neck. By the way, I pity Target also. If any child is molested in a restroom because of some stupid policy, heavy, heavy hangs on their head. I don't know what's worse than that, that it's happening or that everybody thinks it's okay. It's not okay. to just say, if you want to go into a ladies' restroom, go ahead. That's ridiculous. And it's not safe, and we're putting our children at risk. And let me say this, once that becomes policy, it's going to be something worse. Back to the message. We live in confusing times. People are confused. They have no purpose in life. They don't know what's going on. They don't know who Jesus is. Jesus is. Don't we need a place where people can come in out of the fog? Hey, if you were saved and God's done something in your life, aren't you glad that there was a day when things just started clicking? You got saved. Things started to make sense. Maybe you had a marriage that was on the rocks. And maybe God's kind of put that back together. You had a family that maybe was starting to become splintered, and God, through his grace, has helped to put that back together. Maybe you just needed a second chance, and God gave you a second chance. Confusion reigns out there. But I'm glad that there's a place where Jesus Christ and his truth is lifted up. We need to help people overcome the confusion of this life with the truth of God's word. Secondly, I want you to see the compassion of Christ. I'm going to read some of the verses. In verse 5, when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. And he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? He saw him coming and said, they have a need. Philip, how are we going to take care of this? Now, he was testing Philip, but he already knew what he was going to do. In the other Gospels, in Mark, it says, when Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, was moved with compassion on them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Luke chapter 9, verse 11, and the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. And then Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. When Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, he was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. You know what compassion is? A compassion is a pity, a good pity, that moves us to become involved and moves us to action. That's what Jesus Christ had. You know what this world needs? It needs someone that doesn't just have some kind of emotional move. You see some thing, you know, starving children somewhere. Oh, yeah, I feel bad about that. We send our $2 and we move our way. No, compassion says people have needs, and why don't we do what we can to help them? Jesus Christ had compassion. He had compassion for their physical needs. He realized they had no food. He realized that many of them were ill and sick and were in trouble, and he healed their need. People have physical needs in their life today. So many people are just trying to get through the grind of life, just trying to make it through the day, trying to, you know, they say, make ends meet. And by the way, if your life is a continual grind like that, and that's part of life sometimes, but if that's all you have in life, that can get grating. No wonder people have stress. No wonder people get depressed, because it's just one day to the next, to the next, to the next, and there's nothing to look forward to. There's no purpose in life. There's nothing outside of themselves that's greater, but Jesus has something that is much better. They also had spiritual needs. And Mark, he said, he didn't just see them as being hungry. He said this, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. See, he looked past their physical needs, although he was concerned with that, to their spiritual needs. They had no spiritual direction in life. Isn't that true of our society? Our society has very little direction in life. We just had our college graduation. By the way, I'm proud of all the ones we grabbed. It was like 9 of them. Yeah. Tremendous. But the stat there was 1 in 4 that start college actually ever finish. And then I read a stat many years ago that said at least 70% of those that graduate from college end up working in a vocation that has nothing to do with what they graduated with. You know why? We have no direction. To hang out we don't do this and that, and we don't know what's going on in life. Hey, we all need a spiritual shepherd, Jesus Christ. So he looked at him and said, yes, they need food. We're going to take care of that. But more than that, they need some spiritual direction. People need a place they can come to and they can hear truth, not just something the president pulls out of his hat, not just something our politicians try to push on people because the vocal minority is pushing it and it's not right. Not just something they heard on television or on the radio or somebody say that has no basis in truth. Yep. Isn't it nice to have truth to guide us down the path? Thank God for Jesus Christ. And he was concerned with their mental needs. He says, and he taught them. We need to learn the truths of the Word of God. How are we going to combat all the stuff that's going on out there that's confusing? We need the truth of God in our mind to help us to filter everything that's coming at us so we know what is right, what is true, what will help us. So I want us to notice the compassion of Christ. But I also need you to notice this, the callousness of the disciples. These were good guys, except for Judas. And they were all going to eventually die for their faith. But you know what I like about the disciples? They're like you and I, right? Sometimes we do something, it's like, am I really that much of a knucklehead? And then I can hear my wife in the background saying, yes, you are. Just kidding, she doesn't tell me that. She emails me. We all do things like that sometimes. It's like, man, did I really just, that doesn't even make sense. And so what, you know what these guys were? Hey, like Jesus, send them away. Hey, it's getting a little late, Jesus. They need to get into town. You know what they were thinking? Out of sight, out of mind. Now, they probably won't make it to town in time. They're going to be starving to death, but let's just push them out. Okay, Jesus? And Jesus is like, well, wait a minute. Can we buy bread? It's like, oh, you know, we have, but that's not enough. Man, it'd take us a year's wages. That's what he was saying. It would take us a year's worth of wages to feed these people. We don't have it. There's nowhere to buy it. Send them home. But Jesus didn't want to do that. He wanted to feed them. I'll be honest with you, and I'll confess me. You know, sometimes I get callous towards people. Right? If someone does something, it's like, what's wrong with that person? They probably don't know the Lord. Yeah, but still, what's wrong with them? We get like that. We're calloused. By the way, if you're a regular attender of this church, when we come to church, let's not be callous towards new people that come. Let's love them and care, and let's make them feel welcome. I read a story this week. There's a Domino's pizza place in Salem, Oregon. They had a regular customer that would order every 2 or 3 days. He would call in an order, and a delivery guy would take it out. I mean, consistently for several years. One of the delivery men came up and said, hey, you know, so-and-so hasn't ordered in a while. And another delivery person came and said, hey, the so-and-so hasn't ordered in a while. So the manager heard a couple of them talking about that. So she got onto the computer and checked the list, order list, and found out he hadn't ordered from them in 11 days. Now listen to this. Not for a sales. He only bought one pizza every time. They said, we need to go check on him. They got concerned. So they sent one of the delivery drivers out. He went and he banged on the door and didn't get an answer. But in the background, he could hear just the television going. So he called 911. The police came. They got no answer. They thought they heard something. They went inside. There was the man. He had had a stroke a while back. And he would have died if they hadn't been concerned. Pizza people. By the way, that's compassion. Shouldn't we be like that? Let's not, look, we all have to fight it. Someone has a problem in their life, here's what we say. Well, they're not living right. Okay. Thank you for diagnosing the problem. So that's like someone coming to the hospital and they're sick and say, well, it's because your heart's bad. Well, thank you for that. That's helpful. Why don't we do something about it? Why don't we care about people? You know why? Because, well, I was nice to a person one time, and they stabbed me in the back. But you should have ducked. Just kidding. Okay, that happens. But that doesn't mean every person that needs help or somebody that's hurting, we can't befriend them and we can't care about them. We can't, look, if we were callous here at the church, we'd say, let's not build that building. Let's just maybe have a second service. Let's just, listen, it's not going to work. We're at a ceiling here, in a sense. We need more room. There are people out there every day that are going through things, and we need to care about them. Amen. Let's not be calloused. I like the disciples. Like, they diagnosed the problem correctly. Yep, there's no food. Their answer was bad. Send them home. It's not a good answer. They also realize this. Yep, they're hungry, and yep, we can't take care of them. Let's move on. Thank you. Wow. What can we do about it? I also want to see this. I like this. The commitment of the lad. There was one kid there. That was his whole lunch. Now, I don't. Maybe the kid just ate a lot. I'm not sure. I don't know how many kids need 5 loaves of bread, Brother Pichardo. Do you? 2 fish? By the way, you shouldn't eat fish. The only thing worse than fish is like McDonald's. I hate seafood. I would have been, if I, hey, we have fish. I'm like, I'm fasting today. But here's one kid who said, I don't know if Andrew dug him up, like he saw one kid in the corner start to eat and said, hey, come here, son. I don't think he did that. I think he went to the kid. The kid, I'll help. This kid was willing. I don't think they confiscated his lunch. Like, Jesus, where'd you get that? I said, oh, it was a kid over there eating. I stole it from him. Well, amen. Let's ask God to bless that. It's like, I'm going to give to the building. I'm going to go rob a bank. Well, let's pray that you don't get caught. By the way, if you rob a bank and you throw money in the offering, don't tell me where you got it from. Just kidding. Just kidding. Don't do that. I don't want it. Don't. But the kid was willing. He gave his lunch. You know what it takes? People that are willing to do what it takes. Now, we try to encourage you. We try to show you what God's word says. But ultimately, whatever we do, we have to be willing to do it. The kid was sacrificial. He gave it all. By the way, when we take the building offering, God's not asking you to give all your money. I am. Just kidding. I'm not. I'm not. You need to pay your rent. You need to pay your mortgage, okay? We're asking you to be sacrificial. This kid, though, in this story, he gave it all. Think about the widow's mite. By the way, we always say this. It's not equal giving. It's equal sacrifice. The widow gave 2 mites, which is less than a penny. And Jesus said, did you see that? That lady gave more than anybody else because it was a sacrifice for her. That's all God asked from us, to be sacrificial. And then he was given. It was a gift. He didn't say, now, am I going to get this back later? I mean, I'll float you a loan. Take it. I'm young. I can handle this. No, it was a gift. The miracle, don't miss this, started with a gift. You say, well, couldn't Jesus have created food out of thin air? Yeah, I think so. He created us out of nothing. Yeah. Look at how good I am. Okay. Just another reason not to like you. Okay? Jesus didn't need his food. He could have said, listen, grab a couple weeds and we'll bless that. We'll turn it into something nutritious. Could have said, let's do the whole manna from heaven thing. No, he said, I'm gonna start with what you give me. Isn't that where it all begins? All of us doing our part so that God can bless it to accomplish his will. And then I like the last thing, the compliance to the plan. See, what he did is he put a plan together. Okay, make them sit down. He organized how they sat. He got his disciples. He gave the food, and they did it in a very systematic and orderly way. But they had to obey. He gave them the plan, and they did the plan, and he blessed it. I also like the fact that Jesus didn't waste any of it. All we got to do is follow God's plan. What does God want me to do? God wants you to be a part of your church. God wants you to be a part of giving, and God wants you to be a part of serving. Yeah. Well, we got to follow his plan. This is a wonderful story of God supplying for a need. By the way, you know, as we go through this process, and we want to get this done as fast as possible, God's going to have to do something to help us. But can I just tell you something? It starts with us. God can make up what we lack, but God's not going to do everything without our involvement. We've got to be involved. We need a miracle. By the way, we always need a miracle. We always need God to do something great and mighty, only that which he can do. But it starts with our part. Oh, everybody wants to see a miracle. I'm coming to what? Hey, Jesus, I'm going to come. I want to see you do something miraculous. That's why they followed him. By the way, they did see him do something miraculous, but it's because one person said, I'll give. I'll do my part, and we'll follow your plan. Let's all bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute.